Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. It's Friday the 3rd of April and there's something quietly fascinating happening this week. Google is pushing AI video tools into everyday workflows, while OpenAI is pulling theirs back. That asymmetry tells you something about where we are right now. Let's get into it. Okay, so Google Vids just got a massive upgrade. This is the video tool inside Workspace, the thing most people didn't know existed until recently. And now it's got AI-powered video generation and music creation built in. Here's what that actually means. You're in Google Workspace. You're making a presentation or a training video or some internal comms piece. You don't leave the app. You don't hunt for stock footage or commission music. You just describe what you need, and it generates it right there. The interesting bit isn't the tech itself, it's the distribution. Google isn't asking you to learn a new tool or sign up for another service. They're embedding it into the place you already work. For small teams and businesses, that changes the calculation entirely. If your video needs can be met without leaving Workspace, you're not managing extra software licenses or training people on new platforms. Less friction, faster adoption, lower barriers. And here's the contrast. At the same time, Google is doing this. OpenAI quietly pulled Sora back from public beta. No fanfare, no explanation, just gone. Sora was the one everyone got excited about, the video model that could generate those eerily realistic clips. And now it's not available. Meanwhile, Google's version is shipping to millions of Workspace users who'll start using it today without even thinking about it. The takeaway? Distribution beats capability. The best tool doesn't win. The one that's already in your workflow does. Worth thinking about if you're building anything that requires adoption at scale. Right. Completely different story now, but this one matters if you're managing dependencies. Axios, the NPM package, got compromised this week. Supply chain attack. Someone gained access to the maintainer's account and pushed malicious code. Now, if you don't know Axios, it's foundational infrastructure for web development. It's used by countless projects, one of those packages you install and forget about because it just works. And that's exactly why this is scary. One compromised package ripples outward fast. You're not just trusting the code, you're trusting everyone in the chain who has access to publish updates. The postmortem is on GitHub. And honestly, it's essential reading if you're managing NPM dependencies at any scale. What happened? How it happened? What's changed since? The security angle here isn't theoretical, it's immediate and practical. The thing I keep coming back to is this. We've built these massive dependency trees, layers upon layers of packages we don't audit, written by people we don't know, with access controls we don't verify. And we trust it all because it's convenient. Until it isn't. If you're running a team, this is the conversation to have this week. Who has published access to your critical dependencies? What's your fallback if a package gets pulled or compromised? Are you pinning versions or trusting the latest? These aren't fun questions, but they're the right ones. Okay, so this next one is properly exciting if you care about measurement precision. Quantum researchers are working with pentosine dimers. These are molecular structures that can detect magnetic fields at the nanoscale. And they've just shown that dimers, pairs of molecules, outperform single molecules for sensing nuclear spin groups. Now, why does that matter? Because larger interaction cross-sections mean more effective sensors. And more effective sensors mean we can detect things we couldn't detect before. At scales that were previously impossible, this isn't abstract research. This is the foundation for tools that could measure biological processes at the molecular level. Drug interactions, protein folding, things happening inside cells in real time. The pathway from here to single proton detection is getting clearer. And if that sounds like science fiction, it's not. It's just really hard engineering that we're getting better at. What this really means is that the barrier to nanoscale measurement just dropped. Again, think about what becomes possible when you can measure at that level of precision. Medical diagnostics, materials research, fundamental physics. All of it changes when the instruments get sharper. This is the kind of story that doesn't make headlines. But in 5 years, it'll be the reason something else does. And staying in quantum for a moment, there's another measurement breakthrough worth talking about. Traptyon experiments are now achieving super Heisenberg sensitivity. That's a technical term, but here's what it means. They're measuring forces with precision that surpasses the limits we thought were fundamental. And they're doing it without requiring complex quantum state preparation. That last bit is the key. Usually, to get this kind of precision, you need incredibly fragile quantum states that collapse if you breathe on them wrong. But this technique doesn't need that. It's more robust, more practical, more deployable outside pristine lab conditions. The takeaway? Precision measurement just became more accessible. And when measurement gets easier, science accelerates. We're going to see this show up in gravitational wave detection, dark matter searches, precision timekeeping, anywhere that measuring tiny effects matters, which, honestly, is most of physics. What I love about this is the simplicity. They didn't make quantum states more stable. They found a way to not need them. That's elegant. Right. One more story before we wrap. Microsoft just announced they're building their own voice and image generation models, not licensing from OpenAI, not partnering, building in-house. That's a shift. Microsoft has been OpenAI's biggest partner and investor, and now they're quietly building the same capabilities internally. Now, they're not saying this is a replacement, they're positioning it as complementary. But the direction is clear. Microsoft wants proprietary AI capabilities. They don't want to be dependent on external models for core features. For anyone building on Microsoft platforms, this matters. It means the tools you're using might start running on Microsoft's models instead of OpenAI's. Different performance characteristics, different pricing, different terms. The broader trend is obvious. The big platforms are all moving toward in-house AI. Google has its own models. Meta has its own models. Now Microsoft is building its own. Everyone wants to control the stack, which leaves the rest of us navigating a landscape where the tools we rely on could shift underneath us without warning. If you're building on someone else's API, you're building on someone else's schedule. That's the reality. Have a think about what that means for your own dependencies. So, stepping back from all of that, the thread running through today is control. Google embedding AI into workspace. Microsoft building proprietary models. Supply chain security. Measurement precision. All of it comes down to who controls the infrastructure and how deeply they control it. The companies winning right now aren't the ones with the best tech. They're the ones embedding it into places you already are, or building it so deeply into the stack you can't easily leave. Something to think about on the commute home. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.